Everybody get your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, why would you come to a Bible study and not bring your Bible? Bring a gunfight, don't you? Isaiah chapter 44. Tonight, we're going to do just a little Bible study this evening. In Isaiah 44, we'll start there and go to several other scriptures. Isaiah 44. Now, get this down, brother, a little bit. Now, I want you to look at Isaiah 44 and verse 35. Isaiah 44 and verse 35. I'm sorry. There ain't no. Must be 25. I'm sorry. Look at verse 24. I'm sorry. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, maketh diviners mad. That's witchcraft, people like that. That turneth wise men backwards, and maketh their knowledge foolishness. Foolish. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers. Stop right there. That's God. I'm not going to talk about that right now. That's God saying. He's the one that's caused this drought. He's the one that's caused or allowed the rivers to dry up. He's also the one that's allowed those fires out in California. I'm sure you've seen on the news, they said now close to 1,500 homes, businesses have burned out there. And I wish I'd had this on tape. I could have used it in one of my presentations. Larry King come on last night real late and had a special on, and a big caption on the screen said, Hell on Earth. I don't know if anybody's seen that. Hell on Earth. And I thought, man, I'd like to have that on video. Hell on Earth. And boy, that would have been a good cap. Because they said it's like hell, but you know what? They got water, and it ain't hell. They got water. It's a long way from hell. It's air conditioned out there compared to hell. But I don't understand that. I had somebody call me today. They said, do you think God's judging them? I said, I don't know. We got a drought going on, so ain't a finger pointing business. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. That's up to him. But I know he done stuff like that in the Bible. He burned stuff down. He dried stuff up. He done all kinds of things. So sometimes God don't cause all these things, but he does allow these things to happen. He could have had the wind blow the other way if he'd wanted to, and he chose not to. And they're already talking about how the difference in this and New Orleans is, you know, and all this stuff about that went on in New Orleans with Katrina a couple of years ago or whenever, a year and a half ago, whenever it was, and how different the people acted and how different the governor acted and all that. I don't know if there's much difference or not, but it's a sad thing. We need to pray about it. But really, what I want to talk about us tonight is this. I feel like the Lord really done something for our church during the camp meeting, don't you? And I could tell by people's attitude Sunday that God had done something for them. And the Lord done, I mean, it was almost like we had a revival spirit in a lot of people's heart. And if you didn't get in on it, I hate that. If you missed the services, get the tapes. If you just get a tape of the preaching, you miss it. I don't know what to tell you to do. Get all of it you can. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe the Lord done something for us. And even though it's called camp meeting, we had a little touch of a revival spirit. We really did. Brother Jim White's a full-time evangelist. He told me again Sunday night, he said, I ain't been in a service like that in 15 years. What we had Sunday. That's a blessing Saturday night. He travels all over the world. He said, I ain't been in a service like that in 15 years. And then he called me yesterday and left me a message. I want y'all to pray for him. He says his daughter lost that baby that he was telling us about. And but anyway, the Lord done something for us last weekend. So I started thinking about the fruits of revival. the fruits of revival. Here's the way you know God done something for you. And I just want us to take two or three or four or five things here tonight, and let's just look at them and see. You tell me if God did something for you. I know He did something for me. I know He did. He lifted me up a notch or two. He blessed my heart. He helped me. I was sitting there and I was soaking it up. We didn't have a dud. All the preachers did good. Every service was good. We didn't have a bad service. So I got to thinking about the fruits of revival. And here's what revival brings. First of all, revival will bring you a new sensitivity to sin. The first thing you'll do when God really touches your life is you realize how sinful sin is. You know, one of the preachers mentioned it, how gradual, we get used to it. Oh, he's talking about your grass growing. That was a good illustration. He said, you can't see the grass growing. You can't see your hair growing. You just wake up one day and then you need a haircut. You just wake up one day and say, my goodness, my grass is growing. But you can sit there and watch it all day long. You'd swear it wasn't growing. But it happened, and that's the way sin does in our lives. It just gets, you know, we just sort of drift a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further away from God. And when God, He gives us a revival, it brings us back where we need to be. And the one way you know God done something for you is the next time you see something sinful, you go, oh. You know, it just makes you go, oh, that's wicked. Whereas before, you might have thought, eh, no big deal. Haven't you noticed that little by little, you'll start thinking things are okay that you thought was real wicked. Then when you get right with God, you think, man, that is wicked. You know, because it's just like light. You've heard me give this illustration before. It's just like lights. Did you know we could turn lights out in here and just put a few little candles here and there and have it real dim? Man, you'd think this is the cleanest building you've ever been in. But boy, you turn them big fluorescent lights on and them big 300-watt bulbs down. Man, I can see dirt right there. I can see a spot on the carpet there. I can see a lot of dirt when these lights hit. And you know, that's the way the Lord is. When the Lord gets you get close to the Lord, you see a lot of dirt. You know, a lot of these people don't never see nothing wrong with nothing. You know why they're in eclipse, man. They're out in the darkness. They're so far away from God, they don't see nothing wrong with nothing. Every time you preach on them, say, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with that. Because they're in darkness. So when you turn that light on, you'll see. Have you ever thought your house was clean and then the sun shine in and you're sitting on the bed or couch? And you can see millions of little things just floating. Right where the sun's shining, you can see it. Right here, you can't see it. Right here, you can't see it. Right where the sun's shining, you can see millions of little dust particles. Have you ever done that? You think, oh my goodness, am I breathing that? I'll go over here and breathe, you know, out of that light. But it's over here too, you just can't see it. And you think, oh my goodness, the air's clear in here. Man, there's millions of little junk going down your throat every time you breathe. You just can't see it because the light ain't shining. That sunlight comes in here, you'll see it. And that's one thing a revival will do. A revival will give you a new sensitivity to sin. Stuff that you thought wasn't sinful, suddenly you think it is sinful. And I'm going to tell you something else. When a person really gets right with God, you listen? When you or me, when we really get right with God, you really don't have to go ask somebody, is something right or wrong? Amen? I've had a lot of people ask me, is this wrong, is that wrong? That may be a necessity one out of 500 times, but 99 times out of 100, when you get close to God, you know what's right and what's wrong, don't you? Most of the time when somebody says, preacher, let me ask you something, is it wrong to do this or that? Most of the time, they're wanting you to tell them it's okay so they can go ahead and do it. Looking for an excuse to do it. But, boy, you get right with God, it seems like everything's wrong. It seems like everything's a sin, everything's wicked. You know, Job said in 42:6, Job 42:6, he said, I abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes. Poor old Job, boy, he needed less than self-esteem, didn't he? He said, I hate myself. I'm awful. I'm low down, sorry, good for nothing. I've heard people say, I'm a pretty good person. I don't, you know, I live right. I try to do right. And then when we get right with God, say, oh God, I'm a sorry dog. I ought to be shot. I ought to be in hell. You know what? When you get close to that light, you realize how sorry you really are. So revival brings a new sensitivity to sin. Number two, listen, it's going to be short. So here's the way you know you got a revival last week. Revival brings a new consecration to God. The Bible said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. In Ephesians 4:24, it brings a new consecration to God. You automatically feel more dedicated to God. That's why we say we rededicate our life. I don't know if that's even a scriptural term or not, really, but I understand the principle, and I've done it many, many times. Where you recommit. I heard a preacher say you can't rededicate your life. Say if you ever dedicate it, you wouldn't have to rededicate it. But I don't know about that. I know I've dedicated mine and had to rededicate it. I know that. Sometimes the devil will trick you and you get messed up and you have to come back and get it back right with God. A new consecration to God. Starting all over. Didn't you feel like last Friday and Saturday and Sunday you just got in the altar and wiped the slate clean and started all over again? That's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. You need to do that. We need a brand new consecration to God. Not only that, number three. Now, I've said two things. The way you know you've had a revival, there's a new sensitivity to sin. If you just go right on thinking the same things, all right, you did all right, you didn't have no revival. But when you get revived, sin becomes exceeding sinful, brother. You think, oh my goodness, how could I have done it? I didn't say you'd be perfect. I didn't say you'd never sin again. I said you look at it and you see how sinful it is. That's a major part of our problem. Major part of a lot of people's problem is they don't see sin as sinful. Sin is sinful. Sin is ugly. Sin's wicked. You got to see your sin like God sees it. And that's a new sensitivity to sin. I said, secondly, a new consecration to God. God's first. You belong to Him. He has a right to say what you do with your life. He's your Savior. He's your boss. He's your Lord. You belong to Him. Number three. You know what you have? If you really got revived, you'll have a new sense of loyalty to your church. You really will. You'll have a sense of loyalty to your church. If you really get touched by the Lord, nobody's going to have to call you and say, where you been? How come you ain't been to church? Buddy, you'll be there. I mean, unless you have to work. And you'll make plans to be there. Now, coming down here, I was talking to Brother Mose, and I was telling him, I said, you know what? I can tell you right now, we're going to have a low crowd tonight at church, lower than normal. And I don't usually ever say that. But he said, is that right? And I said, yeah, two reasons. One, the very first time it rains like this in the fall, I've been doing this 30 years, and every time it rains like this, the first time in the fall, it knocks a lot of people out of coming to church. Don't ask me why. I guess the devil just says, ooh, it's bad and it's cold and you're feeling bad and ooh, you don't need to go. Just put stuff in. I don't know. I don't understand that. Now, if it done this three Wednesday nights in a row, they'd be right back in here. Wouldn't bother them a bit. But the first time, it's like the first snow. The first snow knocks out a third of the people. If it just a few flurries, everybody says, oh Lord, it's going to snow. But after it does it two or three times, everybody just starts coming. And they don't realize that's a trick of the devil. I'm not being ugly toward those. Some called me and said they had sick kids. My daughter, one of them, two sick kids. And Corey's sick. And I know at least they called me and let me know. But some people said, oh my goodness, it's going to be bad out and the roads are slick and all that. But if it rained three Wednesday nights in a row, they'll be right back in here. That's just a trick of the devil. And the second reason why I knew the crowd would have been low tonight, the sun had been shining. Because of the camp meeting. I've never seen it fail yet. Been doing this 30 years. Never seen it fail yet. Subconsciously in people's minds say, I went to church 9 times. In one, I'm taking Wednesday night off in their subconscious. And that is awful! Amen. That's awful! Don't raise your hand, but how many of you that thought crossed your mind this evening? Don't raise your hand, it's going to hurt my feelings even worse. But I've never seen it fail yet. I've been pastoring church 30 years, never seen it fail yet. Every time after you have a big meeting, a lot of people lay out that next service. Because in their back, I said, Lord, I went down there 15 times in a week. I need to get caught up on some stuff. But they're able to do everything else. Listen, if the Lord touched you, you got a good revival, you'll have a new loyalty to your church. Man, you'd be here with bells on. The Lord's Day. Too many Christians take Sunday, and it ain't Sunday no more, it's Fun Day. And they just want to go have fun. Go to the lake, you know, go to the mountains, see the scenery, go to the lake, be the scenery. You've heard that? I tell you what, too many of them say, oh boy, this is the Lord's Day. Now I work 5 days a week, and I got to get caught up around the house on Saturday. Sunday's my only day to go see Aunt Molly over yonder, lives over yonder across the mountain, Boone, and stumped her toe 2 months ago. We ain't been to see her yet. It's really a Christian's job to visit the sick. And God wants us to visit just as much as He wants us to come. I think you're doing just as much. God, oh, shut up. Just shut up. That's sickening. That's ridiculous, brother. Listen, when it's Sunday morning, God don't want you out visiting. Amen. When it's Sunday evening, God don't want you out visiting. God wants you in your church, in your seat, hearing your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, and He wants you in your place in the house of God. The Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And one of the signs you've got revival is you'll have a new loyalty to your church. By the way, when you join a church, you're saying, I'm going to be there, I'm going to back that church. And I do want to say this, by the way. I do want to say that, by and large, we had some that missed. By and large, I was very proud of our church members, the way you supported the camp meeting. Many of you never missed a service, and some of you had to work during the day and never missed a night service. And honestly, I was proud to say, bless God, 90% of our church members were here almost every service. We had some that missed. We did. We had some that let the devil cheat them out of the whole thing. But I go in some churches and preach revivals, and the majority of the people are visitors. And it ought not to be that way. If you get revived, you're going to have a new loyalty to your church. You'll have your priorities right. Ain't nothing wrong with visiting old Aunt Sally over in Boone. We'll just wait till do it on Saturday evening. You say, I got work to do around the house. Do that the next Saturday. Put God first on Sunday. That's why we call it the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. The Lord's been good to me. I don't think I've been out of church. I don't think I missed a service. I don't even remember the last time. Don't even remember it. I don't think I missed a Sunday morning service but once or twice since I've been saved in 34 years. I don't think I missed a Sunday morning service but twice. And that was when I was 19 years old. I don't think I missed none. And I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just saying, thank God He's been good to me. And if I'm able, I'm going to be here. And you know me, if I ain't able, I'm going to still try to be here. That's right. You know why? Because the Bible said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And if you let one thing keep you out, you'll let another thing keep you out. And 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 I know if you got kids and everything, it's hard. Lord, I've left mine with my mom and called my sister and called somebody to come stay with them and everything else. But you just got to do the best you can. You'll have a new loyalty to your church, to your giving. If you got a revival last week, paying your tithes ain't even going to be an issue. It's not even going to be an issue. You do it without even thinking. There's no debate to it. When I get my check cashed on Monday morning, there's no saying, am I going to pay my tithes? It comes right off the top, brother. Bible said give God the first fruits. The first fruits, that's right off the top. When you bring that first load in, take God's out first, see, put it over here, and He can stretch that 90% to help you do everything else. And you say, well, I can't. Well, you know, you got to do it sometime or another. So you got to get that, you got priorities right. And I've tried to do that, tried to do it ever since I've been saved, still do it. God's always blessed me for that. Put Him first. We believe the Bible, don't we? He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And He said, see if I will not pour out, open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to receive. if you'll do that. And I'm going to preach you a sermon on tithing here coming up real soon. I've been thinking about it for a good while. We need it. And so you'll have a new loyalty to the church. Number four, let me say this. If you had a revival last week, listen, you'll have a new love for your brethren. Hard feelings, gone. You can't be right with God and have hard feelings toward one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. It goes away. When you really get right with God, it's more than just raising your hand and crying and saying hallelujah. I raised my hand. I dreamed it last night. Last night I had a dream. I believe it was last night. I dreamed that I was just walking back and forth going, "Woo, hallelujah, praise God." And I woke up saying, man, that felt good. I remember when I was doing that in a camp meeting. And if that's really real, I can't walk out of this pulpit and say, "Chuck, I can't stand them. I ain't speaking to them." Can I? If a man don't love his brother who he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And it's a cold, dreary, rainy, cold, ugly, dead night, but say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. I know I'm not as good a preacher as them other guys, but I'm trying. Listen to me, people. I'm not preaching tonight, I'm just talking to you, but you have a new love for the brethren. There's something wrong with you. You can't say, "I'm right with God, but I hate His guts." That ain't going to fly, brother. Being right with God is more than just raising your hands. Being right with God is more than just saying, hallelujah. I've known people that can put on a good act, boy. I've seen them, Lord, have mercy, come in and shout the house down. I mean, oh, gosh. I heard a thing about a preacher one time. And, boy, this convicts me every time I hear it. They said this about this preacher. He's just a hypocrite, but he's a great preacher. What about that? And the man said this, said, some preachers... You could say singers or Sunday school teachers or anything. Some preachers preach so well, we're in there in the pulpit, it's a shame they should ever leave it. And they live so terribly when they're out of the pulpit, it's a shame they should ever enter into it. That's a mouthful, brother. That's a mouthful. I thought of Brother Derek when I heard that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding you, brother. But listen, he'll get me back. I'll be gone soon. But anyway, it shouldn't be that. Have you ever seen anybody say, "Lord, they can sing a good song, they can shout the house down, they can put on a good front, but boy, out there in the plant, or out there at the factory, or out there at the grocery, they're a totally different person." If the Lord done something for you, you ain't going to hate each other. You got something you need to get right with each other? Get it right. You owe somebody money and won't pay them? Go to them and say, "I'm sorry, I ain't paid you, but I'll get you paid if it's the last thing I ever do. If I have to pay you $5 a month, I'll do it." You'll try to make it right with everybody when you get a revival. Amen? I'm saying revival ain't just sitting up here feeling good in the flesh and glory to God and hallelujah and all that. I love all that, but if the fruit of revival is, you'll have a new love for your brethren. Ain't that right? Hard feelings gone. Help each other out. Your heart gets soft. You know, if you're not careful, your heart gets hard and you'll start resenting people. I just don't like him. When you get right with God, you think, let it go. Don't matter. Lord's been good to me. I'll let that go. Amen? You might need to make an apology. You might need to go pay some money. You might need to go to your employer and tell them you're sorry for acting like an idiot the week before the camp meeting. You might have to go to the somebody you done something to. You might have hit somebody's car in the parking lot and never even told them about it. I don't know. You might have done something like that. Maybe you need to go to them and make it right. Make it right. Amen? You ever push one of them buggies out at Walmart? I see a few people look a little guilty on their face. And it hit somebody's car. I've done that, man. I went, "Oh my goodness." I mean, I think I done it a long time ago somewhere. And I thought, I'll never find them people. I have no idea. That ain't right, buddy. That ain't right. That ain't right. I think I left a note on somebody's car one time. It's been years and years ago. I done something like left them a note. Have you ever come out and had your car been hit? You know how it feels. It's funny when it's the other way around. Somebody owes you money, you ready to go choke them. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. All right. Last thing I'm going to say is this. Now, what have I said? If you really have revival, you get a new sensitivity to sin. Sin becomes exceeding sinful. Number two, you have a new consecration to God. Number three, you have a new loyalty to church. That means you're going to be here for Sunday school Sunday morning. Please, not 20 after. Not 10:30. 10 o'clock. Number four, you have a new love for the brethren, for each other. And number five, automatically, you have a new concern for the lost. Automatically. If you don't have a concern for lost people, you did not get right with God. You felt an emotional stir. You felt something thrilling in the flesh. You felt goosebumps of the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Listen, brother, I've felt like that at ball games. That ain't the Spirit of God. Amen? I mean, I felt like that when ball games. A team gets behind, they come back, man, I about started crying before. That ain't the Spirit of God. It's your emotions. And I love them. I love them. I love our emotions. I'm glad we can get excited. I like to feel hair stand up on my neck. I like to feel goosebumps and chills and all that. But that ain't the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God done a work in your heart, you automatically got a burden for lost people. And if you didn't, He didn't do a work in your heart. Them tracks still in here, brother? We got them right here. Halloween tracks, buddy. These are ready to go. Here's one that says, Boo. That's a cool track right there. Boo. And then this is a great one, Bewitched. We need to get these out of here tonight, but not for the kids to play with, to give them out. Kids, take some of them to school or whatever. Brother Ray's wanting some. But you have an automatic. Paul said, or the Peter and him said in Acts 4:20, you know what he said? They threatened them. He said, we cannot but speak the things we've heard. We can't help it. Said, God done something for us and we're going to talk about it or die. You can't stop it. You can't help but speak. You don't have to say, oh my goodness, I forgot to witness. When you see that person, you'll think, my job to witness to them. My job to witness to them. Man, where was I? Yesterday. Yesterday I was going up in the mountains. I went way up the mountains yesterday. It's beautiful up there. I wasn't just loafing. I went and picked up Bobby Dobson, and me and Bobby went and looked at that camp. We're talking about having a winter camp this year. I've got so many young people wanting to go to camp and give them something through the winter. That week after Christmas, the few days when they're out of school, like Thursday, Friday, and Saturday after Christmas, and there's a little school in Minneapolis, North Carolina. That's right up above Newland. Between Newland and somewhere on the other side of Burnsville, this side of Burnsville. But anyway, Minneapolis, North Carolina. My sister called me. I was very. She said, "Danny, where are you? I want you to go check on Mom." I said, "I'm in Minneapolis." She said, "What?" like L.A. I told her one time I was in L.A. Lower Alapaz. But anyway, I said, "I'm in Minneapolis, North Carolina." Well, what we're thinking about doing, all the young people. Is thinking about going to camp Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They're bringing all the kids up from Alabama. Brother Jack Goode, about four. We're having probably as many as we had at big camp. And what they done, there was a little elementary school. And when I hear stuff like this, I'm happy for them, and it just makes me sick. Because nothing like this has ever happened to me. And me and Carrie was talking about it yesterday. She said, nothing like it ever happens to us, Daddy. The church, Minneapolis Baptist Church, Little Bitty Mountain Church, was right beside the school there in this little town. I mean little bitty town. The whole town ain't as far about from here to Ingalls, the whole town. And the parking lot of the school joined the parking lot of the church. Little of these old schools. And they finally built a new one. And they moved out. And they were going to auction it off. And nobody bid on it. But the church, and they bought the whole school for $41,000. $41,000. Classrooms, gymnasium, kitchen, fellowship building, utensils, all the things, big pots and pans, dishes, all the hood stoves with the hoods on them, the whole thing for $41,000. I got sick, man. I thought, why in the world don't nothing like that ever happen to me? I mean, and they took the classrooms and turned them into dormitories and put bunk beds in them. They've got it real nice looking. They really do. And the gym's little. You know, it's like, remind me of like our old Nebo gym, you know, the wall just about this far from the out-of-bounds line and everything. But it's like the old-timey schools, like Glenwood, Nebo, and all these little, Glen Alpine right up here. But it's very, very nice. And we can get it for $10 per person per night. So for two nights, it'll be $20. And then if add some, we're going to take them up to Beach Mountain, tubing and ice skating, whatever. So for about $40, they can go to camp in the wintertime. And that's what we're praying about doing. So you can have. Well, anyway, I was up there yesterday. What in the world was I going to say about me going up the mountain? Oh, yeah. And I stopped over there to get gas. And some Yankees are moving in ruin in the mountains. You know that? They really are. They come in there like they know everything about it. Like, oh, we got it. They don't know. They've never even lived here for just the last few years. Well, anyway, this guy checked me out at the store. And I said, he was a Yankee. I said, you remember Jesus loves you. And he said, thank you. Boy, he got mad. I could see mad come on his face. And I went back out, finished my gas, put it on credit card, come back in there. Boy, he was not nice. But you know what? I do that everywhere I go. Just about everywhere. I try not to embarrass people if there's a bunch of people standing around. But sometimes there's two or three. I say, you guys remember, Jesus loves you. He wants to help you. Listen, I do that when I'm backslid. Surely the Lord, if you really get a touch for the Lord and get a revival in your heart, it'll make you want a witness. It'll make you want to witness. That's a sure sign that when the Holy Ghost comes on you, the way you know it's the Holy Ghost, you got a burden for people that's not right with God. So that's how you know if you have a revival. The fruits of revival are, number one, a new sensitivity to sin. Number two, a new consecration to God. Number three, a new loyalty to your church. Number four, a new love for the brethren. And number five, a new concern for the lost. Come on, Miss Desi, you've come and let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. That's the fruits of